This is CyberCod, and this is what's in my toolkit. My toolkit consists of a small bag, approximately a foot tall, 9 inches wide, and maybe 6 inches deep. It used to be a satchel, like a really big satchel, but the side busted out of it, and it was one of those ones that was collapsible to where you could collapse into a smaller bag. Well, I cut away the busted out part and modified it to where it was just permanently a small bag, and it served me pretty well since I did that. In my bag is all the necessary tools I usually need for doing computer repair. And while there might be a couple things missing floating around the house, I pretty much keep all of my necessary stuff in there. In there right now, and I'll note anything that's missing that should be in there. Starting off is a handy dandy motherboard tester. Got that on eBay for about 14 bucks. Couldn't beat that. Good deal. Got a box of Ethernet cable ends and a crimper. I've got a very small wireless it's a very small Linksys router, 4-port and wireless G for networking a laptop with customer's machine if they don't have a router on it on site. I have my wife's phone cable that I've been looking for. Wonderful, she's gonna be so happy. Adapter for the Linksys router. And a Leatherman. I've only used one of these a few times and found it handy, but I don't know why. I just keep one around. The Leatherman is, if you're not familiar with it, it's kind of a, think of it as a Swiss Army knife with pliers. It opens up kind of like a butterfly knife. And instead of, a blade to gut somebody with, you get a pair of needle nose pliers or something like that. And it's got an assortment of other tools in it, but usually I just use it for the pliers, because I usually have the other stuff available. Though the blades are sometimes handy. Broken down old toothbrush. The head's bent back a bit, so to get hard to reach places. This is for cleaning out motherboards. Essentially, when you're de-dusting and that can of air just won't get the grime off. Somebody's had a machine for a long time and they haven't cleaned it. A can of compressed air isn't always going to do the job. Sometimes you're going to need a brush. I have that brush, toothbrush, and I also have another stiff bristled brush that came out of a Clairol hair dyeing kit. Now, I don't care where it came from. I'm function over form kind of guy. The bristles on this are approximately an inch long, and they're pretty stiff. They're separated. They're perfect for getting down inside of heat sinks. And it's all plastic, of course. That's another thing that's very important to have. That's one of my most used tools. I've got some small roll of black electric tape. And That seems to be one pocket explored. Alright, put some of this stuff back. Okay, on to the next pocket. Next pocket contains Phillips screwdriver, another Phillips screwdriver, flathead screwdriver, a bendable magnetic light. It's something I got for Christmas from, I don't remember, but it's about the length of a pen, and it's got an LED light on the end of it, on the end of a bendable, posable neck, and the base of it is magnetic, so you kind of got to be careful with where you stick that, but it's great for, like, just sticking it on the side of a of case and pointing it where you need the light and letting it do its little job. The batteries, it don't last too long because it keeps getting turned on accidentally in my bag. It's got a built-in laser pointer, which is probably where all the battery power is going to, but I don't use that much except to play with the cat. A very small Phillips screwdriver. And a butter knife, because you just never know. Some people call that a case knife, but very handy at times when a screwdriver just won't do the trick. There's a pen and a Sharpie and a pair of plastic tweezers. Now, these are very handy, and I kind of ripped these out of our first aid kit. We got a first aid kit from the Walmart, and inside of it was this pair of tweezers. And they're big, and they're black, and they're plastic. And they don't conduct electricity. So when you drop a screw someplace it shouldn't be, and you need to get it out of there, but say you don't forget, or you don't remember to unplug the device, it's good to have a pair of plastic tweezers. I've got a hard drive adapter. This changes a laptop hard drive into a desktop hard drive. This allows me to work on laptop hard drives on my desktop or any desktop. It basically changes a laptop drive into an IDE drive and lets me work on it without having to stick it in my own laptop, which is something I'm not usually wanting to do. I've got another small flashlight. This is just a very tiny little flashlight. I've also got a carabiner style flashlight on the side of the bag. I've got a package of zip ties, assorted sizes. I've got your classic nerd forehead flashlight with the strap that goes around your noggin. And I don't know what that goes to. Apparently a piece of plastic molding off of something that I decided to keep. I've got an SD, actually a multi 50-in-1 card reader for compact flash and SD cards and whatnot. $20 at Walmart. And more unnamed plastic stuff. Somebody's missing some parts, I guess. Another toothbrush. This one should actually be in the bathroom, because I use that one. Here is a it's like a small case fan or a processor fan. No, it's not a processor fan. It's got Molex connectors to it, so looks like a small case fan. Just in there for use whenever I happen to find a need for it. I've got a keyboard adapter that goes from the very big fat, you know, big as your finger keyboard connectors to the very small PS2 connectors. Now, I'm not sure what the old ones were called. Somebody could probably smack me over that one, but oh well, what can you do? They were going out of style by the time I got into computers, so I do have an adapter for them, so they're not useless to me. Now I have a heatsink and fan. Now this looks like it's for a K6 processor or something like that. Very small. Some nameless piece of metal there. Another heatsink. Some of this is just junk that's accumulated from repair jobs. And some of it's stuff that I take specifically for the repair jobs. I've got two more of the old keyboard adapters. Here's a USB keyboard adapter. It adapts USB to a PS2 port. I guess it could be mouse, but a dry erase marker just for when I'm bored and I need to see something strange. Just kidding. And that seems to be all of that pocket. There's a few loose cable ties at the bottom, but I'm gonna pause for a second and stick all this back in. Okay, moving on. Next pocket. Two things I forgot to mention from the last pocket is a very small injector with Arctic Silver thermal compound for putting on processors, and a PS2 to USB connector, so taking it the other direction there. Okay, in the new pocket, I keep my case of CDs for all the essential things. And just a second. In case anybody's wondering why I'm whispering, it is about 5 a.m. I'm up and I'm bored. So, alright, in my repair bag CD case, I've got a copies of the Ubuntu LTS version, 8.04.1, I give out to customers. I've got a copy of Linux Mint 5, Ubuntu Server, Hardy Heron. I've got a copy of Gutsy, Feisty, Dapper. I've got an alternate CD of Dapper. Got some Linksys wireless drivers for PCI cards, USB cards. Got a copy of Fire Hydrant. Fire Hydrant is an offshoot of Puppy Linux, and it's actually pretty nice as far as your live disks go. It's got a lot of good stuff on there. Highly recommend checking that out if you haven't before. It needs a machine with pretty good RAM though, because it's pretty heavy for a live CD. I mean, if your machine will run an Ubuntu live CD, it'll run the Fire Hydrant CD. But the idea of the Fire Hydrant is it's meant for live sessions. So the more RAM you've got, the better. Got a copy of Puppy Linux 2.17. That's probably a little outdated. Got a DVD of all these ISOs for backups. Puppy 2.15, the community edition, was really good. It's one of the first, I guess you'd call it, trained puppies that I got. Another copy of Puppy 2.17. Inferno 3.01b is another offshoot of Puppy. It's one of the versions of the Fire Hydrant. Or it's an offshoot of Fire Hydrant, I don't know. It's really cool. It's got all the stuff I normally use all on a live disk. Now, I've got two copies of the Ultimate Boot CD. Now, if you don't have a copy, let's go get one, because it's handy as hell. It's all kinds of disk tools, formatting tools, all kinds of goodies. It's called the Ultimate Boot CD. Just Google it, you'll find it. It's a must-have for anybody's toolkit. You can zero out drives. Do formatting and all that good stuff without having to go up to a graphical UI. Speaking of partitioning, formatting in the graphical UI, I've got a G-parted disk. I've got a customized version of XP with Service Pack 2 slipstreamed into it. There's another copy of Ubuntu Hard Hearing. Driver's disk for my Trio. Copy of the Open Disk Project, the Special Software Freedom Day edition. Some games. My own private Software Freedom Day disk with videos from YouTube, among other things. My chopped down tiny XP. Then I took the 700 meg install disk and brought it down to a 300 meg ISO by taking out all of the junk, the bloat, and the fluff. And last but not least, my Windows password cracker disk for when I get some old grandma that just can't remember what her password is. It's a lot easier than reinstalling. You just stick this in there and it'll go through and use the rainbow tables and pop out the password to let you know what it is. So it's very handy. I've never actually had cause to use it yet, so I couldn't tell you if it works or not, but I imagine someday I'll get the chance, because people are forgetful. And that's my CD case. I have about a 6 foot long Ethernet cord, 3 foot long Ethernet cord. Some loose CDs that should probably be put up. I've got a copy of the Booth CD. It's a Firefox kiosk disk. It's great for putting in your machine. It's kind of like the guest mode on the new Ubuntu, but it just comes up to a browser, nothing else. You close the button, try to close out of the browser, it just starts another browser. Doesn't let you do anything but surf the net. It's designed for like internet kiosks and such. It's very handy. It works pretty good. Does not handle wireless drivers before you even ask. There might be a new version that does, so check that out. But this is the Firefox kiosk disk, otherwise known as the Booth CD. I've got, you can get that from SourceForge, by the way. A copy of XP Service Pack 1. A copy of last year's OpenCD. Firefox disks. I've got Ubuntu Dapper for the Mac. And a Firefox kiosk. A copy of Ficey. Another OpenCD. Some nameless disk with a shitload of scratches on it. Let's go in the trash. And that's not really explainable, so I've got a very short EIDE cable for hooking up drives and whatnot. And that's that pocket. I'm gonna pause while I stick all this stuff back in. Okay, last little bit here. I've got some other pockets with some business cards and some blank CD cases, or some empty CD cases, I should say. And that's about all for that. The bag's pretty nice. It's got a kind of like the pocket where you used to keep all the folds of the big bag it used to be. It's kind of weird. You have to turn the bag upside down to get into there, but it's got a good compartment in there for keeping hard drives and stuff like that you're transporting. Maybe PCI or cards or something like that. Apparently, inside there is, looks like three video cards. AGP all the way. These are old junk pick and pull parts, but, just, good to keep handy a, video card. Somebody's machine doesn't show up any video, you just pop that in there and you got it fixed for next to nothing, because it's a part that you pulled out of another machine that somebody didn't want. Though I should note to self, I should have a PCI card in here, because not everybody's got AGP. And yeah, I know you guys are all up on the PCI Express and all that stuff, but I live behind the times, because it's a lot cheaper to do so. And while you guys are spending $300 or $400 on your very nice graphics cards, I'm spending $40 on the card that used to be $400, buying it on eBay. So sacrifice a little bit of the front, the bleeding edge, and you do pretty well. So just a little tip. And that's my toolkit. There's a few things missing that I need to put in here. Namely, I've got to track down my miniature screwdriver set. But usually keep some scissors. And usually keep a lighter for heating up the electrical tape whenever I tape stuff up. Makes it, gives it a good solid seal. It's also great for when you're working with headphone wire. Like some of that stuff is doesn't really have any normal insulation. It's kind of painted on, and you'll ruin the wire just trying to. Oh, shut up! You'll ruin the wire just trying to strip it down. So what you do in that case is you just extend out a good portion of it, you know, a couple inches, and then you burn it. You'll burn the insulation off. The wire itself will turn red hot, but it won't melt. And then you can splice as you normally would. It works pretty well.
You gotta be have a delicate touch. It is fragile, and but it's a hell of a lot easier than trying to strip it with your teeth. So just small tip from me to you, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.